It is Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Theater Squared opens its seventh season with Noises Off Thursday, August 30th through September 23rd at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studios. This comedy follows a troupe of actors scrambling to hold a tour together amidst frayed nerves, backstage betrayals, and chaos on stage and off. Tickets and more information for Noises Off available at theater2.org or 443-5600. Later on this edition of Ozarks, getting more small businesses in Arkansas to have a presence on the web. Plus, Becca Martin Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers previews entertainment options for the next few days, and a trip to Winslow to talk about the upcoming Winslow Half Marathon.
First, a statewide ballot initiative asking voters to weigh in on legalizing medical marijuana will appear on the November 6th general election ballot. According to TalkBusiness.net, Secretary of State Dustin McDaniel's office on Wednesday announced that enough signatures had been verified to put the issue before voters. The group had turned in more than 74,000 additional signatures after too few signatures were verified from the initial round of petitions. The group only needed 62,507 verified signatures to get the issue on the ballot.
The 28th annual Rogers Frisco Festival begins tomorrow night in downtown Rogers. Event coordinator Dana Mather says this year's festival will look a little different than those in prior years.
We are moving a little bit around in the festival grounds. We wanted to bring a focus to some of the events that had been maybe spread out a little far away from the main stage, but we wanted to bring everything back to our central focus area around Frisco Stage and Frisco Park in downtown Rogers on First Street. And so we are moving some vendors around to help them out, and we're also able to then focus on some of our festival signature events.
Some of those signature events include Friday night's Rotary Fresh Fry, Saturday's Rotary Early Risers Pancake Breakfast, the Chili Cook-Off, which will all be held in the parking lot next to the Frisco stage. Dana says that the lot was home to the festival's food court in previous years, but because food vendors will be dispersed throughout the rest of the festival this year, organizers decided to use the lot to feature the festival's signature events.
For the first time in several weeks, the drought picture in Arkansas has improved. Data released today by the National Drought Mitigation Center shows that only 45% of Arkansas is in exceptional drought conditions, the most severe drought classification. That number is down from nearly 53% of the state in exceptional drought last week. And the percentage of the state in extreme drought conditions, which are slightly less severe than exceptional drought, fell from nearly 81% last week to 74% this week. Drought conditions slightly improved overall across the southern region, which includes Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. While areas of exceptional drought increased slightly for the region from 11.1% last week to 11.7% this week, the area covered by extreme drought fell less than a full percentage point from 28.3% to nearly 28%.
It's been the first week for a new high school in Lincoln. Superintendent Clay Hendricks says things have gone well the first few days of classes there, even though the new high school has shifted some grades to different buildings.
The middle school moved into what was previously the high school building, and we spent a lot of time this summer cleaning and painting and decorating that. So they're in a nice, beautiful building as well. And fifth grade moved into middle school, and eighth grade left and went to high school. So they've got new teachers and new students. And they've had a great first few days, as well as elementary. With fifth grade going to middle school, elementary got some additional room and able to spread out a little bit more, have some more room for some support services, and they've had a great first few days as well.
There is one area, however, that's not gone as smoothly. Earlier in the week, traffic was a problem for the new high school.
The new high school is located on U.S. Highway 62, just east of town, and it's in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. And so, you know, in the morning and in the afternoon, there's a lot of traffic, hundreds of cars, because, you know, the student drivers plus the car rider traffic. In addition to that, we've also got the buses that go through and drop off kids in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon. So there's a lot of traffic twice a day to be pulling onto and off of that highway for it to be such a high speed limit, as well as, you know, it's a school that's not yet got placed into a school zone there on U.S. 62.
The Lincoln Police Department has stationed officers near the new high school as a temporary solution to the traffic issues. Russell Morfus is the chief of police.
As of right now, we're doing kind of a makeshift school zone where we're posting two officers on the highway, one west of the school, one east of the school, with their emergency blue lights going off of the roadway to try to slow down the traffic that's going in front of the school there on Highway 62. Because the traffic and it being a new school and people that are coming through the town that may not be aware that there's a school right there.
Because Highway 62 is a U.S. highway, the State Highway Department is the governing body that determines when and where to designate school zones. Both Morphus and Hendricks say the Highway Department has been in the area assessing the situation to remedy the safety issues.
The Razorback soccer team remains undefeated after beating Missouri State with a 1-0 shutout last night. Haley Hatcher scored the team's only goal at just under 48 minutes into the game. The win was the third for the Razorbacks, and their next game is at 7 p.m. Sunday in Dallas as the Razorbacks take on SMU.
It wasn't a shutout for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals last night, but they did get a much-needed win. The Nats beat the Springfield Cardinals 9-8 last night. The victory last night at Arvest Ballpark ends a 6-game losing streak. The Naturals will play the Cardinals again at 7 o'clock in Springdale.
Tonight, clear with a low of 61 degrees in northwest Arkansas and 68 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, expect cloudy skies with highs in the lower 90s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms. The low in northwest Arkansas will be 68 degrees, while the low in the Arkansas River Valley will be 73. This is Ozarks at Large. The phone book is no longer the office staple it once was. Many people turn to the internet to search for restaurants, shops, or service providers. A program launched earlier this month aims to help small businesses get online. I spoke with Scott Levitin, Director of Small Business Engagement for Google, the company behind the program Arkansas Get Online. He began the conversation by saying that 60% of small businesses in Arkansas are not online.
Which is pretty interesting when you think that pretty much everyone these days is looking online for products and services. You know, we've got our phones, our smartphones, we've got our tablets, our laptops. You know, we're connected at home, we're connected at work, we're connected even in the car. Yet, 6 out of 10 businesses, you know, do not have a website. You know, people are looking for somewhere to eat tonight, you know, somewhere maybe to get a haircut, or they have a plumbing disaster and they're looking on the web.
Right. I'm sitting in front of my computer and I just Google plumber.
Yes. And what do you get? You get a map. You get all the plumbers, and you get a map of plumbers, and there's probably a great plumber who's invisible. You know, so you will be choosing among those businesses. And so, you know, if you are invisible, you're invisible to your customers, you're invisible to your potential customers. You know, maybe you have that plumber that you worked with a couple years ago, and so where are you going to look for his number? You may look online, and if his number is not there, well, maybe you'll call somebody else. We're seeing actually businesses that are online are growing 40% faster than those that are not online. So what we did is actually, interestingly, is we asked the question is why in 2012 would a business not be online? And we actually heard a couple of things. First thing is it's not that the businesses don't realize it's important, but there is the perception that, you know, getting online is hard. The truth is that getting online these days is, you know, doesn't require technical expertise, doesn't take a lot of time, and we're actually making it, you know, it's actually affordable, and we have a program which we've just launched in Arkansas that makes it free for any business to get online.
So, say that plumber, he went through his vocational training before the internet, and he doesn't know about the internet. He doesn't use the internet. He doesn't need it for his plumbing business. How do you make that plumber realize and learn that he really could benefit?
So there's a few things. So, for, you know, I think that to get online, you do need to, for example, like if you need to be using Gmail, you know, you need to be using email in some way. I mean, you need to have some basic web skills. If you can use the web as a consumer, you should be able to get your business online. I would encourage people who are thinking they're looking at a mountain that is like Everest, that it's more like a hill. Now, let's imagine that for the sake of argument that, you know, this plumber doesn't have any skills at all. You know, you'll know somebody. Maybe your nephew or niece or cousin or somebody who cares about you and who wants to see, you know, your business succeed. You know, we can do that, and it's good for the business, and if we can all get together, it'll be good for our community and good for our economy. We know we need the help.
So how does this Arkansas Get Online program make it easy?
So first thing is we've partnered with Intuit, who is a leader in professional websites, and they have a product called Site Builder, which is it's really not hard. It could take about an hour for a business to go from offline to online. If you're prepared, it takes about an hour. You sign up for your account. Again, it's free. You know, you get your customized domain name, so say scottsplumbing.com, and there's a relatively simple wizard that walks you through the process of building your website.
So I don't need to know HTML code or anything like that?
Oh, there's no coding needed. No coding.
So you mentioned if you're prepared and you're ready, it could take an hour. So what kind of things do you need? Your business's logo, pictures?
There's a couple of things. Of course, like you said, you need pictures of the business. You know, how would you explain? I think one of the most important things is knowing how you would explain your business to any member of the public who's interested. So, for example, hey, I'm a plumber, and I specialize in this part of plumbing. I serve this area. I'm open these hours, and this is how you can reach me. Getting the fundamentals so that people can understand your business. And so also search engines can understand your business. And so when someone's looking...
Right. You don't want to Google plumbing and get a florist.
That's exactly what we don't want to do.
Right.
You don't want to Google plumbing and get a great florist. You don't want to plumb... We want to connect... but you don't want to Google plumber and get a plumber in California. You want a plumber in your area.
Right.
And I think it's really one of the interesting things we've learned from talking to businesses that have been getting online is we had one lady, and she ran a secondhand clothing store. She said one of the most interesting implications, things that happened beyond her business growing after she got online is she said, my phone stopped ringing. I don't understand. So I'm like, why is that good? She said, Well, my store was full, but before I got online, people used to call me and say, what is your address? How do I get there? And what hours are you open? Once I went online, they stopped calling. And so actually I had so much more time available to do, kind of more important things. And this way people can help themselves and show up. And she said, and I also realized that all these people that wanted to find me, because I made it hard, they never showed up in the first place. So it wasn't even the people that called. It was all these people that didn't call because they expected to find my information on the web, and they never showed up. Now they are showing up, and my business is growing.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned a used clothing store, because literally a couple months ago I wanted to sell some clothes to a used clothing store. It's really just a couple blocks away from my work. I wanted to go online and see what hours they would, buy my old clothes. Well, they didn't have a website, and so I did. I had to call to see what days and hours they were buying used clothes.
Maybe you wouldn't have called.
Right.
Maybe, you're busy. We're all busy. Businesses say they're busy, but your customers are busy. So make it easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if you can spend, literally hours. If you can spend less time than it takes you to do your laundry or mow your lawn, and you have a reasonable chance of growing your business, it seems like a reasonable investment of time. I mean, it's free, so it's a reasonable investment of money.
So how can Google and Intuit do this for free?
For us, it's really, we see this as being a benefit for everyone. We know when businesses get online, they grow. At scale, it's good for the economy. But for us, Google, our business was built on connecting people to information. And if you think about 60% of businesses in Arkansas not being online, that's a lot of information. That's a huge information gap. And that's not good for our users. So we would like to see, more information on the web, which ultimately makes your experience on the web better. And that's good for us.
A couple of weeks ago, there was a seminar in Little Rock. Do you know if people attended?
We had hundreds of businesses attend the seminar in Little Rock. All the tools, resources, presentations are now live on our website, which is arkansasgetonline.com.
Okay. When did this program start? I know it started in Arkansas, you know, the 1st of August, but nationwide, when did it start?
We started with a small test in July of 2011 in Texas. And we had this idea. You know, we did the research. So businesses weren't online. We had this hypothesis. You know, we did the research as to why. And we said, can we help? Can we launch a program that makes it fast, easy, and free for businesses to get online? And the response has been tremendous. So we've been accelerating our efforts and going around the country. You know, we recognize that to connect with businesses, you need to connect locally. You need to connect in the communities, you know, with people who care deeply about their success.
Good deal. Part of our listening area covers a small part of Southwest Missouri and then Eastern Oklahoma. Do you have programs in Missouri and Oklahoma as well?
We do. So the website in Missouri is MissouriGetOnline.com, and Oklahoma is OklahomaGetOnline.com.
Okay. And then ArkansasGetOnline.com. All right.
That's right. And I've been in both Arkansas and Missouri as well,
okay.
Personally.
Well, thank you, Mr. Levitin. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much.
Scott Levitin is the Director of Small Business Engagement with Google. I spoke with him earlier this week.
Winslow is a small town on the western edge of Washington County, the population under 400. In a pre-air-conditioned world, it was a popular summer getaway tucked inside Ozark Mountains. Highway 71 bypassed the town, then Interstate 540 directed traffic further away. A few years ago, the school district was lost to consolidation. Still, Winslow residents have a deep sense of community. Mary Anderson is one of them.
It's all about the people. And that's what's the attraction. But the people that are drawn here are a wonderful eclectic mix. We have every kind of person you could imagine here. And we all somehow managed to get along pretty well.
John Ford has lived here for about 3 years after leaving the Dallas area.
It's just a quirky little place with all kinds of people. And as Mary said, everybody gets along. There's an active social life, believe it or not. And people just kind of pull together and get things done. It's just a remarkable, you know, can-do type of attitude that I just haven't seen any place else.
Tuesday afternoon, I met Mary and John at a Winslow landmark, the Pavilion, that sits alongside railroad tracks and across the street from City Hall, the Winslow Museum, and the wonderful Winslow Mercantile. John and Mary are two volunteers for this year's Winslow Half Marathon that will be run September 22nd. Both were involved with last year's inaugural race. Participants, they say, will see all of the mountain town as they follow the course for 13.1 miles.
The runners will actually start up at the school and the library building, but the finish line is just by the side of the railroad tracks over there. So they'll be finishing right down here in the heart of Winslow.
Winslow's physical beauty is owed in part to its terrain. There are slopes, banks, pitches, descents, bends, creeks, and forests. Mary says this certified course allows for all of the scenery to be taken in, but says runners need not fret. The course is designed to be as flat as possible.
The course starts at the school and it winds through Van Buren, which is the residential part of town, and then it goes out Bunyard Road, which is the road that actually goes over the tunnel that you go when you're going down 540, you go under the tunnel. Bunyard Road goes on the top of that. It's 13.2 miles, and it's an out and almost back. Just before you get to the end, you turn down into town instead of going back to the school. We have a really, really good elevation map on the website. And the website is www.winslowrun.com. It's a great website. It's got really good information.
This year's registration will be capped at 500 runners. There's a 5K as well. And that would more than double Winslow's population for that Saturday morning. Mary Anderson and John Ford say the atmosphere will still be as small town as any half marathon course can be.
Even though we're anticipating the race will be much bigger than it was last year, it's not going to be any less small town and friendly. And the thing that I heard more than anything last year from the runners was how wonderful the volunteers were and what a great atmosphere it was.
Well, a lot of the locals come out cheering everyone on. Last year we were lucky. It rained in just the day before, kind of cooled things off. So it was quite pleasant. Most of the runners brought people with them, so they hung around at the finish line. where awards are presented. And this year we'll have a small community expo and a barbecue at the finish line. And then after that, WinFest starts.
WinFest, now in its 30th year, is the other big Winslow event that takes place annually. This year's bill includes the Penn Miller Band, Efren White, and Steve Pryor, along with other bands. Runners will need only to show their medals to be allowed in free to WinFest. The race and WinFest serve as primary fundraisers for several Winslow agencies and services.
Last year we made just under 4,000. Most of that went to Winslow Community Meals, which provides low-cost meals for senior citizens and people in need. The local 4-H.
Here, I have a list.
Ozark Folkways.
The Winslow Community Relief Fund, the fire department, and the 4-H.
Mary says there are still opportunities for volunteers and sponsors to help with the aid stations. Runners can still register for either the half marathon or the 5K online at winslowrun.com. Staging a race in the smallest town in Washington County, a race that this year could have 500 runners, is no small feat. Mary says the idea to start the Winslow Half Marathon came from the same place so many other ideas come from: idle conversation.
A few of us started talking about it one night, and you know how sometimes the energy of a thing picks you up and carries you along with it? Not only did we come up with this idea of a half marathon, we actually started running. This is radio, so maybe it doesn't show, but we're not the youngest group to start running, but we're still doing it 3 days a week. And we had a twofold objective, and one was to get more funding for our local nonprofits. You know, we can't solicit our businesses. We probably have two or three. We can't expect huge grants because we serve so few people. So what we do, we pretty well have to do for ourselves. And this seemed like a really good way to help ourselves by bringing money in and people from outside. But it also, we also had this objective of encouraging people to be outside and doing something healthy. Away from the TV, away from the video games, and out on our really beautiful streets, you know. And I think that has happened to an extent. We run down at the ballpark 3 mornings a week. It's amazing how many other people we see down there, and it's really encouraging. We see people who did our course last year will occasionally come out and run the course again. We see a lot of bike riders down here. It's a great place for physical activity. And we wanted the people of Winslow to be involved in that physical activity.
The Winslow 5K and half marathon races are Saturday, September 22nd. The longer race begins at 8 that morning. The 5K will start at 8:15. There is still time to sign up for either run. And if you do run the course, you'll be not just with locals, but runners that have already signed up from Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas, Wisconsin, Washington, Mississippi, New York, Florida, and Washington, D.C. All will get a feel for the Winslow lifestyle, some barbecue, a medal for finishing, a T-shirt, and a pretty cool bumper sticker.
Oh, they're going to have a squirrel and 13.1 on them.
And if people, some new people might not know why the squirrel.
The squirrel was Winslow's school mascot. And it might have been a tough mascot for the kids who played on our sports team. But you know what? Squirrels go after what they really want. They're tough and they're feisty. And so even though we no longer have our school, we feel we still have our squirrel spirit.
Mary Anderson and John Ford met me at the Winslow Pavilion in the middle of downtown Winslow Tuesday afternoon. You can learn more about the race and the town at winslowrun.com. It is Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And with us is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Why are we here?
Is this an existential version of this?
It's not so much an existential question as it is we could be at Art on the Creeks, at Village on the Creeks in Rogers.
I see.
We could be seeing art. We could be talking to artists. We could be buying art. Mm-hmm. The show goes on from 1 to 8 today, and the Sona Chamber Orchestra will perform at 6 and 7 at Chapel on the Creeks. Those concerts are free, but seating is limited, and you can find out more at villageonthecreeks.com. And the Fayetteville Roots Festival starts tonight.
It does indeed.
Performances at the Garner Farm, Greenhouse Grill, and Kingfish. If you still have last week's What's Up, we have everything in it that you need to know, or you can check out FayettevilleRoots.com. There's a summer concert featuring Still on the Hill at 7 o'clock at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. It is free. And a one-man act from Vermont called King Tough is in town for a show at the Lightbulb Club. If Kevin Kinder, our music writer, says this is worth checking out, it's worth checking out. It says he has a sophomore album, a self-titled release, Rolling Stone, called Greasy Catchy Garage Pop.
Sounds
the show
fun.
Also features The Audacity. It starts at 9 o'clock, and it's $8. If you don't like it, you can go home.
Is it the Lightbulb Club?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
KUAF is supported by Malco Theaters, offering the gift of entertainment all year round for all occasions. Malco gift cards and gift books are available at all locations and online at malco.com. We conclude our series of fall theater previews now. Already this week, we've covered upcoming performances of children's theater, comedies, and drama. For this finale, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda considers the musicals on tap this year.
The triple threat. It's that talented individual who can not only act, but sing and dance as well. As we wrap up our series on the upcoming theater season in the region, we take a look at a genre that requires triple threats aplenty. Musicals. September 14th, Oliver opens at Rogers Little Theater for 3 weekends of shows. The Alma Performing Arts Center will have its fill of musicals later this year, beginning with Fiddler on the Roof in October. The Tony Award-winning musical features familiar songs like Matchmaker, Matchmaker, If I Were a Rich Man, and Sunrise, Sunset.
Is this the little girl I carry? Is this the little boy at play?
I don't remember growing older. When did they?
Once Fiddler on the Roof wraps, the Alma Performing Arts Center will have a double dose of musicals in December, starting with Oklahoma on December 6th.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night.
The Rodgers and Hammerstein musical follows two young cowboys at the turn of the 20th century as they vie with an evil ranch hand and a traveling peddler for the hearts of the women they love. A week later, the Alma Performing Arts Center will help audiences get in the Christmas spirit with a performance of Miracle on 34th Street. Rogers Little Theater typically produces a musical in February, and Productions Chairman Ed McClure says this year's selection will be a play based on a Dolly Parton movie.
This is a new musical, and it's first time in Northwest Arkansas. We are going to be doing 9 to 5, the musical, which is based on the hilarious movie that a lot of folks are familiar with. And it'll be part of our Valentine's Spectacular, but the performances will be February 8th through the 24th. And it's basically the movie version set to music, and it follows the antics of the three women and their overbearing boss, and they all sort of inadvertently plan this revenge on their boss that sort of goes awry. And so it's quite funny, and It's a great show for sort of girl power, if you will.
Company will take to the stage at the University of Arkansas Theater 2 months later. Andrew Gibbs, chairman of the U of A Drama Department, says Company is a 1970s Stephen Sondheim play set in New York. The story follows a young single man named Bobby and some of his married friends.
Their goal in life is to get Bobby married. And Bobby's goal is to try to survive that and determine whether he wants to be wedded or not. So it is musical comedy. It's rather sophisticated. It's not a large traditional musical of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Oklahoma South Pacific scale. But it does have song and dance, a company of supporting actors who work with the principals. It's set in various locales in New York's Upper East Side, upscale folks who have social means to do or economic means to do what they want to do for the most part. And their goal is that everybody should be happily married. And then we hear from the married couples and discover how happy they are or not. And, of course, we hear from Bobby and how much he likes this situation or not. And there are some fairly familiar songs. An actress named Elaine Stritch, who is still with us, quite mature, still a very viable performer, was in the original Broadway cast and sang this wonderfully cynical, sarcastic piece called Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch.
Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf.
That's will be a familiar song, as long as another one called Side by Side by Side, another called Being Alive, all in the spirit of very positive social engagement, I guess you could say.
Things at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith will be rocking come April. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith's 32nd annual season of entertainment will feature a performance of Rock of Ages on April 30th. The Tony Award-nominated play follows a small-town girl and big city rocker who fall in love to the greatest songs of the 1980s.
Just a small-town girl living in a lonely world. Oh, she took the midnight train going anywhere.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit, Michigan. Took the midnight train going anywhere.
Just less than a year from now, Rogers Little Theater Productions Chairman Ed McClure says RLT will wrap up its 2012-2013 season with a production of The King and I.
And that'll be July 26th through August the 11th of 2013. And that's the first time we've ever actually done The King and I. So that will be an interesting challenge for us. But with the change and sort of the diversity in our community, we think that that's a good time to sort of bring that production to Northwest Arkansas. So we're excited about that.
For more information on the upcoming theater season in the region, visit OzarksAtLarge.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
The music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Dan Crafty, a special projects reporter for Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Working on special projects?
I'm working on a couple, but we're actually going to talk about one that Flip put off our outdoors guy has put together this time through.
Yeah, if you see Flip's byline, usually you think hunting or fishing or hiking.
In this case, you should think light switches.
You're going to have to help me out with that, Dan.
Flip actually went out to what's called the Flint Creek Power Plant. It's the large coal-fired power plant out at Gentry that provides most of the electricity for Northwest Arkansas. The plant is old by power industry standards, built in 1978, and they're looking to upgrade it. And that's causing some issues and some friction among various folks.
What do you have to do if you're going to upgrade an electric utility?
Well, you need approval from everyone from the EPA to the Public Utilities Commission at the state level and everyone else. This is a coal-fired plant, and basically what the reason they have to upgrade is because the EPA is making them meet stricter smog emissions.
So they have to upgrade.
Pretty much. They've got to do something. Either put more environmental pollutant control equipment on, or maybe even switch from coal, something they don't want to do, but other folks like the Sierra Club have suggested.
So what did Flip find out? This story obviously will be in the Sunday edition of Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Right. Basically, they're looking at the plant is operated by SWEPCO, but it's actually co-owned by SWEPCO and then the Arkansas Electric Cooperatives Corporation. So if you're on Carroll County or Ozarks Electric, that power is still, for the most part, coming from this plant. They're looking at spending over $400 million to upgrade the plant to meet these new emission standards. The Sierra Club has filed what they call intervening motions with the various utilities and regulators. What they'd like to do is switch them off coal completely and replace it with a natural gas-fired plant. That might mean heavily rebuilding the one they have or even knocking it down and putting up a whole new plant at about twice the cost. SWEPCO obviously doesn't like the extra cost and would have to pass that on to you and I in the form of our electric bills.
Can you do this without, I mean, obviously, I guess you can, but it seems like it might be difficult to make this conversion, whether you're going from one to another or not, and still provide power to everybody who wants power.
Particularly because that plant is what we call the base plant for the entire region. The dam on Beaver Lake really doesn't send power to Northwest Arkansas. That goes out on a much more wide regional grid. There's a natural gas-fired plant in Tiny Town. It's much smaller. It's what they call peaking plant. When we all turn on our air conditioners at once and the plant at Gentry can't keep up, the turbines there at the natural gas plant in Tiny Town will spool up and provide more power to the grid.
These are all things that we just generally don't think about.
Right. And honestly, the way it's generated at the dam, the water going through the dam spins the turbine that's connected to basically a huge electrical generator. At Tiny Town, the natural gas fires a boiler, and the steam runs that turbine. At Gentry, it's coal that fires the same boiler. Again, you spin a turbine, it produces the electricity. It's really a matter of what you're using to create the steam for the turbines.
So Flip's story about all of this will be in the Sunday edition of Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
That's right.
Dan Kraft, thank you very much.
No problem.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Jody Beznoska, who is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
And to you.
Happy Thursday before the Roots Festival.
Yes.
Well,
it starts tonight.
It does.
That's
it starts
right,
tonight.
With the party.
Yes.
That's right. But the big shows, the sort of day-long music starts tomorrow, if I'm
right.
correct, right?
We'll have a live show tomorrow at noon, public invited at the Fayetteville Public Library.
So cool.
Then Friday night, Saturday night. Multiple stages.
Yep.
I should say Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday
yep.
night. Multiple stages at Walton Arts Center.
Absolutely.
It's a festival.
It is.
You may have
much.
The ticket for Grisman or John Prine, but go. That
all
ticket
weekend.
Gets you all.
All weekend.
Gary, right.
You will definitely find somebody that you like
yeah.
that
so
you've never heard of.
Tiffany
which is
Christopher, a lot of yeah. local folks still on the Hill.
One of the great parts about doing a festival like that. It'll be great.
You guys are kickstarting it at Walton Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had Second City Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Two shows, and now you're really beginning to.
Yeah, we're picking up a little bit. We've got like we said, the Roots Festival this weekend, and then next weekend is Labor Day weekend. I think mm-hmm. is it?
It mm-hmm. is.
Gosh,
yes.
can't
it
believe
is.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Our box office will be closed, I think, on the Monday of Labor Day, but then we run right into September, and things start to pick up. Everybody's back at school. This is the time of year I think when it's the hardest to get our shows on your calendar. Just because there's so much going on in everyone's life. So we're going to stay very focused today. We're going to talk about the first couple weeks of September.
Okay.
And we're going to decide what you should get on your calendar for this
okay.
week. So the first thing to note is that Theater Squared will be kicking off their season with Noises Off, starting next week, August 30th.
Right.
Have you guys seen this show?
I've never heard of it.
I have. I think the University of Arkansas
yeah.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something to behold.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Timing. It's precision. Morgan Hicks, the director, and Martin Miller, the managing director of mm-hmm. Theater Square, will be on the show Monday talking about it. It's nine people.
It's craziness.
It's a play within a play within a play.
Yep.
You
it's
see
mad
things
cap.
From different perspectives.
Yeah.
The set turns. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fantastic. It's I don't even really know how long it's been around. I'm sure they'll tell people about that. But I've seen it a couple times in regional theater, and
so I should have heard of it.
It's hysterical.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
So funny. It's a great way to kick off a new season because it's just fast paced, and you know you're going to see faces you know on the stage, and it'll be great.
It's really spectacle,
mm-hmm.
not in the Barnum and Bailey sort of way, mm-hmm. but in just what this cast and crew has to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is as close to choreography
oh,
as
sure.
you'll ever get in theater. You know, it's usually you talk about blocking, mm-hmm. which is how people get around the stage, but this is choreography. These people are going to be running around in circles, slamming doors.
13 of them.
Yeah.
13 doors on the set.
Yeah.
Two story set.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So it starts on the 30th of August, and it runs through the 23rd of September. So it's a four-week run.
And cannot be extended because that butts up against Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue.
Absolutely. Yep.
So
don't miss it.
Fairly warned.
Yes, you are warned. And if you miss this and you like comedies, then you should feel bad. Okay. Next, we will, for Walton Arts Center, we will have Stomp in the house for four shows from September 7th through the 9th. And I'm not sure, I didn't see them, but they were on the Olympic closing ceremony.
They certainly were,
yeah.
Early on.
Yeah. That sort of, I understand they found out about that at the last minute.
Oh, really?
So it was a, oh my goodness, we're going to be on the Olympics, which, oh, how cool is that?
And they came out and they were stomping on trash cans and all mm-hmm. sorts of things.
And it's the same group that's going to be here?
You know, that's an excellent question, mm-hmm. and I'm not certain. But I do know that it has changed our plans a little bit, because originally I think when we talked about Stomp prior, they were going to be here, they were going to be teching for a while, they were going to be sort of introducing their new show. That's not actually happening now. The show is going to be the same show they've done for the past couple of years, but it will have different content than if you saw it back in 2008 with us. There might be some new people, because this might be one of the first times they all get together. So we'll be the first stop on their tour, but it's just not going to be a completely renovated new show.
Gotcha.
It's going to be – they are
it's
just
fun.
So much
You've
fun.
Seen them.
They're so
mm-hmm.
much fun. Such high energy, and you sit there, you go, I don't understand how they can make music like this. My favorite is the little lighter – lighter one. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Where they,
yeah.
they all have lighters on stage. And so they've been stomping and clomping and making all this huge noise. And then they stop and they all take out lighters and they do a little song with the click of the lighter.
Oh, wow.
So
like
neat.
A Bic, yeah.
So neat. So that is September 7th through the 9th. That's a weekend show, four performances. So that's your second weekend of September. And then the following week, Symphony of Northwest Arkansas will kick off their first season, their first show. It's a Masterworks concert, so it's going to have I've forgotten the rep, which is terrible. We'll talk about the rep next week. But it's Masterworks, so it will likely have a big, mm-hmm. one of those big symphonic pieces. And then, of course, Paul Haas will dabble some little nuggets of surprise
right.
in there as well. That's the 16th of September. So that's the first show of their season. And then we will have the first show of our 10x10 art series on September 20th. It's Plena Libra, which is a Puerto Rican band, which will be much fun. I know everybody's busy, so we're not going to go further than that. But that's our first couple of weeks of September. And we also have a new show at the Amp going on sale Friday
tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, yep. This is Brantley Gilbert, another rising country star, and this will be, I believe the date is going to be in October. I've forgotten when the actual date is, but
tickets on sale tomorrow.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow for that, and so that will be available online and on the phone and in person at the box office.
WalnutCenter.org
for your tickets, or you can call 443-5600, or like I said, you can come down and visit us in our lovely air-conditioned lobby.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jody.
Jody Beznoska is Vice President of Communications with the Walton Arts Center.
Jody mentioned the Fayetteville Roots Festival that began today and extends through Sunday at several different downtown Fayetteville venues. This weekend, the annual Frisco Fest takes place at Rogers. And then we're off. Festivals from now until the holiday season is over. Last week, a venerable shopping center in Fayetteville started its own late summer festival. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis was at the first ever Evelyn Hills Chills Fest, and he brings us this report.
A sizable crowd gathered for the first ever Evelyn Chills Fest, held Saturday at the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center in Midtown Fayetteville.
Tents lined the sidewalks in front of participating businesses in the shopping center. Bands played throughout the festival on a stage in front of Ozark Natural Foods, the lead organizer of the event. There was also a dunk tank nearby where festival goers lined up to sink willing employees. Alexis McGriff is the marketing director of Ozark Natural Foods, and she came up with the idea for the festival. She listed off about a dozen businesses that sponsored the upstart event.
We have Powerhouse Gym, Uncle Sam's, Outfitters, Handmade Market, Mottie's Seafood, Painting with a Twist, Generations Chiropractic, Einstein Bagels, White's Jewelry, Personally Yours, Avalon Nutrition, and Family Dollar.
Was it hard to get businesses to sign on to this?
At first it was, but we got a couple really core businesses here in the shopping center to really join quickly and push it. And so, you know, it was easier to get more and more people involved after that.
Powerhouse Gym provided the children's entertainment with a bouncy house and a free throw game. Owner Randall Curry explains other ways his business contributed to the festival.
We are donating free memberships. We're donating the Kids Zone. I mean, everything's going on here with all that you're seeing here with the Kids Zone. We're donating products like water bottles and different things. Pretty much all the other things you have to do with kids we're part of.
No matter how festive the atmosphere, the event was still being held in a parking lot. But the setting did not necessarily detract from the festivities. Fayetteville resident John Metters was at the festival, enjoying some time with family.
I mean, it's different, but you know, you also look around, you got trees all around this parking lot, so it's a little different to be in a parking lot, but you know, you just kind of sit and listen to the band. You got some nice, pretty trees in the background, nice storefront here, and kind of forget about the whole parking lot part of it.
And most people at the festival did seem to forget about the parking lot part of it. No, there weren't bed races and there wasn't a petting zoo, but between 50 and 100 people milled around the various tents, tables, and other festival attractions about an hour after the festival began. But the real reason for the festival is twofold. One, McGriff says that she hoped the festival would raise awareness about Midtown Fayetteville.
I just love all the core businesses that have been here, you know, for years and years. And, you know, a lot of these businesses are local businesses. And so I really like, you know, pushing the local idea of Midtown.
And there is reason to want to raise awareness of Midtown. The past few years have seen many longtime businesses on the stretch between North and Township streets close or move uptown.
We just thought a lot about how uptown and downtown Fayetteville have a lot of stuff going on, and they're really cool places, and Midtown is kind of hurting, and we really wanted to bring Midtown back to Fayetteville and liven it up a bit, and so that's kind of where the idea came from.
McGriff says that the festival in Evelyn Hills was modeled after another young festival that sprouted from a part of town that has seen resurgence in the past few years.
You know, I really got the idea from Block Street Block Party. I think it's a really cool thing, and obviously it's not as big as that, but we just wanted to start small this year and see how we could do it, and then, you know, continue to model it after that for the next couple years.
And if the festival does grow from this year, the festival's beneficiaries will likely be happy for that. All proceeds from the festival's games and silent auction went to the March of Dimes. Melissa Wood was the representative for the March of Dimes present at the event.
March of Dimes' mission is to help babies, you know, make sure all babies are born healthy. So we do that by helping prevent premature birth, infant mortality, and birth defects. And so we do that in different ways. We have different programs. We have education pieces. We have a support system within the NIC units at UMS and at Baptist in Little Rock. So there's a lot of different things that'll help. And it'll help, you know, people up here in Northwest Arkansas as well that have had babies in the NIC unit.
From her perspective, Wood said that the festival seemed to be a positive event.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a positive event. There's awesome live music. There's a dunk tank that has been, people have been lined up all day. And I know the benefits of that are going to March of Dimes. And so it's been a really fun event. It's a lot cooler out today. So it's been nice that everyone's been able to come out here and stay out here for a long period of time and not be too hot.
But the festival was not only a benefit for the March of Dimes. Representatives from the Madison County Animal Shelter walked around the festival with dogs for adoption, and Gifty Agana with Traders from Africa was at a table with baskets, bracelets, and other products from Africa. She was born in Ghana, West Africa, and has lived in Fayetteville for almost 5 years. Agana's goal Saturday was to get people to make bracelets, the proceeds from which would be used to help send aid back home to her village.
We actually take containers back, and we take books, shoes, and everything back, and we
We do collect shoes and all that stuff, and we get a container and we take it back to our country.
She said that any aid sent is graciously accepted back home.
It means a lot. I mean, having a book to write, having a book to read, learning, because we don't normally know English. We have to learn English in school, and just the fact of having clothes to wear, and it's just really nice.
Although the goal of the festival seemed to be the idea of helping out, whether it's babies at home, children in Africa, or the businesses in Midtown Fayetteville, McGriff seemed determined that the Evelyn Chills Fest will not fade as other festivals in Fayetteville have done in the past.
I think there are definitely some things we can learn from this festival to change and improve on for next year, but I definitely think that it's already gotten some attention in Midtown. I think it will continue to do so.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
The 2012 Fayetteville Roots Festival runs today through Sunday. The music festival will showcase Ozark culture, roots, music, local food, and more. University of Arkansas student tickets are now available at the Walton Arts Center box office for the Friday main stage performance. FayettevilleRoots.com for more information. I should emphasize that if you want the student ticket, you need a student ID, and you have to get it live in person at the box office. Not available online.
Good things to know.
Yes.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, and Osage Mills.
Osage Mills.
Mm-hmm. In between Cave Springs and Highfall.
Huh. Which is, I don't think Osage Creek is there, because Osage Creek is in Carroll County.
Right.
Okay. So. And the town of Osage, then, if you're headed east out of Benton or Washington County and you're on 412,
okay.
Osage would be then, you take a right.
Okay. So south. Yeah.
Osage everywhere. Yep. Mentioned the Roots Fest. Roots Festival actually begins in earnest tonight. It's kind of the preview concert. If you bought the full package, you can go to the Garner Farm, still inside the Fayetteville city limits. And some of the bands are playing tonight. Then tomorrow, all sorts of activities going on. There's a songwriter's workshop at the library. But tomorrow at the library, at this time, we'll be wrapping up our
live show.
Right. It's not our first ever live edition of Ozarks at Large, because we've done a couple. When Crystal Bridge is open, this will be the first one with a studio audience.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal, yeah. And we think it's going to work. We tested all the equipment.
It will work.
It will work. Thank you. I like your positive attitude. We'll have some live music. We'll talk to some representatives from Feed Fayetteville, one of the beneficiaries of the Roots Festival. We'll have all that happening. We'll be in the Walker Community Room live beginning at 12. It's free. We've got seats that will be, so if you want to come in and hear.
Mm-hmm. See some of the bands.
Right. For absolutely free. We'll be live from noon to one. Then we're going to continue for a little bit more taping for tomorrow night's 7 o'clock show. So two different shows. So if you show up with, you'll get entertained for about an hour and a half, a little bit more tomorrow. Should be fun.
Pretty good deal.
Yes. I should tell you that Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And we'll all be together. Just about the entire Ozarks at Large crew will be over there tomorrow. You and I will then be back together Sunday morning at 9 for the weekend edition of Sunday Ozarks at Large. Quickly, between now and that Sunday, you'll also see some Volkswagens.
Yes, I'm going to Eureka Springs for the Volkswagen Festival. And I just saw that it's the 20th.
Ah, so. And Scirocco's, Beatles.
Things.
The thing. Yes, the thing. All right, we'll hear more about that soon. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday.